Well, I'm glad you're here today. Amen. Welcome. It's a blessing to have you. Glad you made it. Some of you have made it to the revival night after night, and we have had a good meeting.
Amen.
Good preaching. Brother Brent's come back here and just been preaching hard every night. Been a tremendous blessing. And if you missed last night, you ought to get the tape.
Amen.
We had a time, I'm telling you. Saturday night, we came, stayed late. He never lets you out early. Forget your clocks. They got your calendars this morning. You need your calendar this morning. But man, it's been good. See, some of you, when you speak, 5 minutes is too long. Old Brother Brent, he can preach, and we thank the Lord for him. And I want to give thanks to all of you that have had a part in this meeting. Many of you have worked in the nursery. Some of you have done various things, taken the evangelists and the pastors out to eat.
Put in the wheelchair and take all the wheelchair and put it back. Everybody's practicing. They brought this little boy down there. I mean, he was burned. And you know what thing about being burned? You got to suffer through it twice if you live through it. I mean, the first time it just, you know, it burns you and you're in pain, and then it kills all the pain. But then that stuff grows back and you got to go through it all again. Then also, when you get burnt, your body kind of shrivels up. And so they're going to stretch this boy out. And they put him on a stretch board. That's what I call it, a stretch board. It was a table, just a wooden board. They put that boy, that 12-year-old boy, on that table. And then they put these big old seat belts. They're about that thick. About four of them on there. And they strapped that thing down, pulling that. That boy's laying there, and his daddy's standing right next to him. Are you with me? They strapped him down. I thought, what are they doing to that boy? They strapped him down, and then they started lifting that table. And that boy let out a blood-curdling scream that I'm never going to forget. And every time I preach on hell, I think about that boy screaming. He starts screaming, Daddy, I'm in pain! Daddy, get me off this board! Daddy, let me go! Don't you love me, Daddy? The picture? I wish I could scare the hell out of you this morning. Literally. I wish I could. There's some people going to hell. You understand? That's how much God hates sin. When he sees sin, he's going to judge it, he's got to get rid of it, and he made hell because of sin. Now, do you see the condition here in Ezekiel chapter 22? These people are committing sins are going to lead them to hell. Now, you know something about the character of God? God is not interested in putting anybody in hell. He never made hell for man. He made hell for the devil and his angels. When that wicked devil rebelled against God, God said, I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to make a place called hell, and I'm going to put the devil in it. Wasn't originally made for man. But the devil deceived man, and they fell in sin. You and I are sinners. But God doesn't want man to go to hell. God is always wanting to give mercy. But he's not going to give mercy just because he wants to. You understand? You can't just deny justice. Justice has to be done also. But he wants to get mercy. They go together. And so he's looking for a man. That's what it says. He's looking for a man. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Look in Ezekiel chapter 33. Verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? That's God calling out, turn ye. You and I know about this great God, this just God. He's also a merciful God. And of a man that falls into sin and has forgotten about God and gotten into some wicked sins, if he'd repent of that sin and turn, God would grant mercy. But just as long as that wicked sinner is covering up his sin and painting over his sin, whitewashing a thing and trying to make excuse for sin, he's not going to get mercy. But as soon as somebody humbles themselves and says, Lord, have mercy. He's there to give mercy. That's a great salvation. God wants to give mercy. And he's looking for a man to stand in the gap. You see, my Bible says there's none that seeketh after God. And then what it says, you go over there and read in Genesis chapter 3, Adam falls into sin, and Adam is not looking for God, now he's just making excuses. We preached about that this week, didn't we? Huh? Just making excuses. You know the woman. It's the woman's fault. And he tried to cover himself up with some fig leaves. That's what some of you are doing. You're standing there stark naked before God Almighty. He done seen everything you did, and you think them fig leaves are going to help you. You think because you go to church once a month that God's going to have mercy on you. You think because somebody dunked you in a tank of water, God's going to have mercy on you. You think because somebody sprinkled a little water on your head, that's going to be good enough. You got fig leaves. They don't cover you. God already saw. And you're not seeking God. You forgot God. But he's looking for you. Adam, where art thou? Adam, where art thou? He's looking for you. Thank God for that. Now that's the mercy of God. God's looking for us when we're not looking for him. Amen. He sought for man. And I thank God that he's looking for us. I thank God for that he sought for us. But he's looking for a man. Now I don't understand all the things about God, but I learned to trust him. Did we learn something about that? Some things just don't seem fair to me, but we learn to trust him. Because like Brother Kincaid said this morning, God's smarter than we are. Isn't that right? And I figured that out a long time ago. He's smarter than I am. And if he's smarter than I am, then I can trust him. God knows what he's doing. We can trust him. But he's looking for man. Look over in John in chapter 5. I want you to notice some things. Quickly now. Because I don't want you saying I take too long. Now, I'm already there. I don't know where you're at, see? So if I'm taking too long, it's your fault because you didn't turn the pages fast enough. Yeah, he says down here in John chapter 5 and verse 5, a certain man, and God's looking for a man, and a certain man that was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. Now, this man was sick for 38 years. How'd you like to be sick for 38 years? I don't like being sick for 38 minutes. Huh? And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had now been a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Huh? And the impotent man answered him. Now, when I was a younger preacher, I always read that, the important man. And I figured if you're important enough, God was going to heal you. If you weren't important enough, God wasn't going to heal you. But that's not what it says. It says the impotent man. Still don't know what it means, but that's what it says. Sir, I have no man. You see that? God's looking for man, and man is looking for man. Isn't that what it says? God sought for man, and when this man says, Jesus asked him, will I be made whole? He understands, I've got no man. Now, God in his infinite wisdom chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, I don't know why God would do that, but that's what the Bible says, and I trust God and I believe it. God decided to use a man to preach the gospel. Is that what he said? He took some disciples and he trained them and he sent them out in all the world to preach the gospel. God used men. Now we get over there into Acts in chapter 10. This is the Acts of the Apostles. This is what the Apostles did for the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We got over there in Acts in chapter 10. We find a man by the name of Cornelius. Is that what we find in Acts chapter 10? Some of you have been reading your Bibles. Acts chapter 10, we find a man named Cornelius. And he's not saved yet. He believes in God. He believes there is a God. But he's not saved yet. He hadn't been born again yet. He hadn't heard the gospel straight yet. He heard about religion, got some things about religion, but he's just not sure about salvation yet, see? Is that right? Am I telling the story right? We don't have time to read the whole chapter. But you know what? This guy's praying. And an angel shows up at his door. Are you following me? If I'm wrong, you tell me. And this angel shows up at his door, and he says, your prayers have been answered. Now, in my thinking, and I'm not God, in my thinking, this is a perfect opportunity to give in the gospel. Don't you think? I mean, the angel's there. He got in the door. He's inside the door. Do you know how hard it is to get in somebody's door? Huh? You ever go door knocking? Huh? Hey, I'd like to come in. Oh, you ain't coming to my house. I'm not letting you in here. Huh? You're trying to get in somebody's door and tell them about the gospel? That's a hard thing to do. Well, this angel's inside. Not only is he inside the door, he's got the man's attention. Are you with me? Do you understand? Now, this dumb preacher, he would think, well, let the angel tell the man. The angel's inside the door. He's got the man's attention. The man's expecting something. I mean, he's ready to go. But see, God's smarter than I am. And he says, no, you have to go down and find a man named Peter. Isn't that what it says? And he shall tell thee what thou must do. God decided in his infinite wisdom that he was going to have mercy upon people through a man. That he was going to be a man to carry the message. And when God looked down upon the wickedness of man, the sin that was going out, he says, I have to judge it, but is there a man that would stand in the gap? He's looking for a man. Look over in Acts in chapter 8. Just lost my notes. Acts in chapter 8. Look down there about verse 30. Now Philip was an evangelist. He went out preaching. Lost my notes again. Went out there preaching. I told you guys last night we need a bigger pulpit. See? And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, now this is pretty good. This man's reading the Bible. He's not even in church and he's reading the Bible. But that's another subject. Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, now get it, how can I except some man should guide me? You see, I figured out a long time ago that God was looking for a man and that men were looking for some men that would stand up and preach the gospel. And so that's what I volunteered to do. I'll preach the gospel. I figured out over there in Poland that if somebody didn't go and tell them about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that He was the only way to heaven, and not through the Pope, and not through the sacraments, and not through the saints, and not through purgatory, but Jesus was the way, and He's the only way, and the only Savior, I figured somebody ought to go over there and tell them. Amen. It's not that they don't have Bibles, they just don't understand them. He said, how can I except some man teach? Are you with me? God said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Now, I think that we'd all agree that it just doesn't take any kind of man, right? God just not, He's not looking for some of this crowd here, like these priests who violated His law. He's not looking for them. Obviously, some priest who claims to be a minister of God, and maybe is a minister of God, but he's violating the law, he's not going to do. Right? You don't mind if I take off my... Getting a little bit warmed up here. Unplug me. He's looking for somebody, that not like the priest, though. Look down at verse 26 in our text. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 26. He says these priests violated His law and have profaned the holy things. You know some people like that? You know some people that say, yes, I'm a minister of God, but they violated the very law of God they're supposed to be ministering to. And I don't understand some of you Roman Catholics how you can go and bow down before a man and confess the most intimate details of your life and the most secret sins you committed when you know that that guy's been running around with women. I don't understand it. And I don't understand why you'd get offended by somebody opening the Bible and telling you how it like it is, but you're not offended by that minister of God or that priest there running around committing fornication. How come that don't offend you? Huh? I was preaching, you know, the other day, that preaching the same text. And I made a statement, I didn't think Catholics were Christians. And this guy got up in the back and he just stomped out and he was out there arguing with the deacon and he just had a big fit. Come to find out later, he was a Roman Catholic. And he got offended because I didn't think Roman Catholics were Christians. He didn't even let me finish my statement. Didn't even let me hear the end of my sermon. How come he didn't walk out of the Roman Catholic Church when the priest stands up and says, all you here today are heretics and on the road to hell? How come he didn't walk out of the Catholic Church? How come that didn't offend him? Are you with me? You know, there's a lot of hypocrisy running around. Some priests here, they ought to have been serving God, but they made no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither they show difference between the unclean and the clean. There's no difference. There ought to be a difference. Well, obviously God's not looking for that kind of man, right? He's not looking for the kind of man down here in verse 28 that have divined lies and they've seen vanity. And they say, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. God's not looking for that type of man. He's not looking for somebody that's going to twist the scriptures to fit his opinion. He's looking for a man that says, I don't understand everything, but that's what God says, and that's where I'm parking. God said it, I believe it. God is looking for a man that's going to trust him. Right? Maybe you don't like the idea of hell, but that's what God said. Are you with me? So what kind of man is God looking for? I think that God is looking for a just man. Now look over in Genesis in chapter 6. In verse 5. Some of you ought to memorize this verse. For Saturday nights. Or Friday nights. Or nowadays, Monday nights, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. It says down in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, and God saw. You know, if you just memorize that part, you'd keep out a lot of sin. Some of you young people will say this again, if you'd remember that God can see through cars. Are you with me? I know you got tinted window on there, but God can see through tinted windows. I know mom and daddy ain't home, but God can see. I know they're not around, nobody's around, the police aren't around, the neighbors are around, grandma's not around, mama's not around, but young people, you with me, God can see, he's not blind. He can see what you're doing. And keep your paws off that young lady. And now I taught you young ladies, we're going to find out if you remember anything, what happens when that ugly brute puts his paws on you? What are you supposed to do? Help me! Right? Of course, this modern, wicked, adulterous generation, we got to teach the young men how to say things too. When that woman puts her paws on you, what are you supposed to say? The same thing! Help me! And if worse comes to worse, when you're looking at a 6'5" monster and he's beating on you, the wisest thing you do is look down at your feet and say, I'm checking out of here, and just run. But I'm trying to tell you this morning that God sees. Young people, did you hear what I said? God sees. Mama didn't see it. Daddy didn't see it. Are you with me? Now, when my kids got a little bit older, and they're getting older, and I'm getting older, they started telling me some things I didn't see. Uh-huh. Oh, is that what you did, huh? Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm talking about you, Leslie. Yeah, I'm talking about you. Corey, that's you. Where's that Jason of mine? Jason, yeah, I'm talking about you, see? And now where's Cassie? I got my kids spread out all over this place. Where's my, she's in the nursery, right? Oh, there she is. Cassie, I'm talking about you. Now you're still young, don't you be doing things. I'm telling you, God sees. When daddy can't see, he's blind, can't see, I can't even see your face right now. God sees. I was down in Mexico and they broke into our house. Stole almost everything we had of value. But nothing was broken. I mean, we had a big old mansion of a big old mama of a door. I mean, you can't get in there without a crane or something open that thing. But we got broke in. And the first thing the police asked me was, is there somebody that has a key? Because we don't understand how they got in this door. They just can't get it. You just can't jimmy this door. They can't get in this door. Does somebody have a key? I said, no, man, nobody had a key, just us. No, somebody had to have a key. No, nobody has a key. My daughter's standing there the whole time. Well, 7 years later, 8 years later, over in Poland, she comes back with her friend, well, now her husband, Mr. Michael Costanzo. And she's going to tell me that the neighbor had a key. Well, they laid the dollar short, ain't it? What I'm saying is God saw. God saw, what did he see? He saw the wickedness of men was great in the earth. And he not only that, he saw the imaginations, and every imagination in the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now that's pretty wicked. You think you'd have a good thought every once in a while, but continually evil. Now notice, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And brethren, when God repents, look out. The flood came to sort them all, and that's what he said. I will destroy man. See, when God sees wickedness, his first thoughts are, I'm going to destroy it. Now, man's first thought is, I'm going to cover it up. But God's first thought, I'm going to destroy this thing. The Lord said, I'll destroy man whom I have created. He's willing to destroy his very creation. Huh? And some of you won't even whip them little rugrats when they get in trouble. Huh? You brought them into the world. You have a responsibility to train them. You have a responsibility to make you a little paddle. Put their hands up here on the chair just like this and bend over. And depending on what they did, how many whops they get. The Bible says over in Proverbs, it's B times. That's a little algebraic problem. You put in how much crime did they do, and that B is for the little letter you use. You just put in the number of times that's going to be B times. Know what it says? You ought to study your math. You children, you ought to learn your math when you're in school. I will destroy man, for it repenteth me that I've made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man. You see, I think when God looks down upon the wickedness, I think he's looking for a just man. He's looking for a righteous man. And if you read the New Testament, the Bible says over there in 2 Peter, I think by chapter 2, he says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And I think that's the kind of man God's looking for. He's looking for somebody righteous. I know some of you are looking at me, but Brother Brent, you preached a whole sermon on there just the other day. I just remember we got a tape over here. It says, no, there's none righteous. Well, I want you to notice what that little verse down there in verse 8 says. Noah found grace. Thank God for grace. And great, when you find a righteous man, you're going to find out grace has already been there. No son of Adam ever gets to be righteous without grace showing up first. So Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I think God is looking for a righteous man to stand in the gap. And God help us to find some more preachers of righteousness. Look over in Acts in chapter 4. God said he sought for a man to stand in the gap, to stand in the hedge. Acts in chapter 4, I dare say this morning, I think that God is looking for a just man, a righteous man. I think God's looking for a bold man. Just not any man will do. He's looking for a bold man or a brave man. Look down about verse 13. We're not going to read the whole chapter. That's some more homework for you. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, we're going to skip some verses. Look down at verse 39. Now, this is how they prayed after they threatened them. Lord, behold their threatenings. You ever been threatened? And grant, have you ever been threatened? Some of you have never been threatened, have you? Some of you need to open your mouth and talk about Jesus Christ more, and you're going to find out people are going to threaten you. The reason you haven't been threatened is because you haven't been talking about Jesus. You talk about, you know, you talk about David Robertson or all them basketball stars, they're not going to threaten you. But you open your mouth and start talking about Jesus, they're wanting to shut the whole factory down.
Right.
You can't talk about Jesus. Now, you can talk about Clinton. You can talk about that. Well, I won't say that, but that, you can talk about that. And you can talk about some of that over there, but you can't talk about Jesus. And when they start talking about Jesus, they want to shut you down. Some of you Bible believers here, in fact, all of you Bible believers, not just Al, all you Bible believers ought to open your mouth and talk about Jesus.
Amen.
You say, well, I'm not learned. Well, either with Peter and John. Behold their threatenings, and notice how they pray. Now, these guys knew how to pray. Behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants with that with all boldness they may speak thy word. He said boldness. Don't be stupid. Are you with me? Don't he didn't say help us be ugly. Are you with me? Some of you street preachers, are you with me? He didn't say be ugly. He didn't say, you know, call these people, they're ugly and they look, you know, I'm not, don't make fun of people. Don't get so proud that you forget where you came from. Huh? He said bold. Right? That's what, I think we need some bold people. I think we need some brave people. I was working out here at Kelly Air Force Base. I was a security policeman. That's what they call Air Force military policemen. That means I had an M16 and a 38. And not like the Army, both were loaded. I've been told, because we had Army guys out there, and they'd all die. You ain't got no bullets in that gun. Try me. I got bullets in this gun. No. Our MPs, they don't carry bullets around their gun. They carry it in their pouch. I said, no, there's bullets in this gun. And I pulled out the cartridge and showed him. And their eyes got about this big. But I had bullets in my gun. And I had an M16. And I'm standing at post on a Saturday. I had to work Saturdays. Got Sundays off, but had to work Saturdays. And I worked in a classified zone, top secret. You're not allowed in there unless you have a security badge. I think they call it Security Hill. I don't forget, know what they call it now. It's out here at Kelly Air Force Base. And the general shows up. And he comes up to my gate. I've got a gate there. And he says, I want to get in. And I said, your badge, sir. He says, you know who I am. I'm the general. Let me in. I said, yes, sir. I know who you are. I know you're the general. Yes, sir. But where's your badge, please? No, I'm just coming back. And he had this excuse. I forgot my badge. I just need to run in and get some things, and I'll be right back out. I need to get in. I said, sir, you know you can't get in here without a badge. You have to have a badge. Well, he says, but I'm the general. Listen. And you know what? I was scared. This is the general. He's the one who wrote them rules that I'm trying to follow. That's what I told him. I said, yeah, but the orders right here say I'm not allowed to let you in unless you got a badge. He says, I wrote the orders. Now let me in. Don't you know I'm scared? Huh? Don't you know he was saying that I was unlearned and ignorant fellow and all that kind of thing? And he said some other things I can't say here. But my knees are shaking. Are you with me? Boldness doesn't mean your knees don't shake. Boldness doesn't mean you don't get butterflies in your stomach. Boldness means you overcome that. And so I said, sir, I'm sorry, but I can't let you in. He said, let me in. I'm telling you, let me in. And I said, sir, you can't come in. Now, when you got an M16 and a 38, that gives you a little bit of boldness. I said, you can't come in. Well, he didn't get in. Next day, they had a picture of him on every post, 8x10. And then we had an order. This man gets in by badging this picture. He didn't have to have a badge no more, but he didn't get in that day. He didn't get in that day because he didn't have his badge, see? That's called boldness. Huh? My Bible says that Peter and John were bold. You know that young lady, 16 years old, she was bold. Don't you know she was scared when she opened up her Bible 24 years ago to tell me about Jesus? Don't you know she had butterflies in her? That same thing that keeps you from talking to people about Jesus. She had the same feeling. Don't you know some things went through her head? Well, you know, what if he doesn't accept me? Huh? Am I talking to you? Well, what if he rejects me? Why you ever have that? The subject ain't you anyway, but I don't know what, but this happens. Well, what if I don't say it right? Well, maybe I might not go to the right verse. Well, I'm not qualified. All them excuses that you gave, she overcame. That's called boldness. Now, some of you, some people called me, and Bill and Joe and Rambos for Christ. You know what? I'm a chicken. I don't like big guys because I'm a little guy. I don't like to fight. It hurt. I'm allergic to pain. I really am. I don't like pain. I don't like rocks. I don't like tomatoes. I don't like being spit on. I don't like being threatened. I don't like any of them things they do. But you know what? I know Jesus. And it just, you know, that just kind of helps you out. You know, you just give a little bit of boldness when you got Jesus with you. I like going preaching when Jason's with me. Huh? And you know, it's kind of hard preaching with Joe because he's thinking, I'd like to go and Brent with me. I'm thinking, no, that means I got to be the big guy. No. When I was down in Mexico, I'd get Big Ed. Come on, Big Ed, me, we're going to go preach over here. I'd never go with the little guy. I want to go with the big guy. Now, you understand? When you're with a big guy, you feel a bit braver. Well, I want you to know, when we're preaching the gospel, we're with the big guy.
Amen.
You don't get any bigger than Jesus.
Amen.
And that's why we can stand out there in the street and preach the gospel. Bold. I think God's looking for some people bold. Now, I'm going to tell a story you probably already heard, but we're used to reruns, so. Now, there's a pretty bold fellow sitting back there by the box. I know they switched them guys back there. This guy, Lyndall Kincaid, he's going out here to Atascosa, Texas, going to build a church. I think it was Southwest Baptist. So I can tell some stories. I know he tells you stories about me, so now it's my turn. You know, I know he tells you, all that dumb bread, you should have seen what he did. Well, now it's my turn, see. I'm going to get you back, see. And Verlene, hang on, I'm going to get you next. I love these guys. But he's sitting in a barber shop, and he said, look, I come here. Of course, that's what they do in a small town. They say, what are you doing here? Who are you? He said, well, I'm Lyndall Kincaid. I'm a preacher of the gospel here, and we're starting a church right over here, Southwest Baptist. And we'd like to come out, and I'd like to tell about the Lord Jesus. And that old barber and that crew around there, you know how these old-timers are. They said, preacher, we don't want to hear you. We got a fellow over here. If you win him to Christ, then we'll listen to you. And, of course, this guy, he's a little bit, you know, he's, all right, well, fine, whatever. Who is he? His name's Popeye the Sandwich. Some of you guys know him or heard about him, right? Now, that's Popeye the Sandwich. He's a big man. I shook his hand one time. My hand kind of got lost in his. I mean, he's a big man. I mean, they tell me this man, he cleaned out bars. I mean, you know, he's just a big man. He fought. They tell me they put a 45 to him, put 5 slugs in him, and he lived through it. They tell me one time they shot him with a 38 while he's transporting a convict across country. He's got a 38 slug in him. He takes his convict all the way across country, gets him into the jail, then he checks himself in the hospital. Now we're talking about a man, aren't we?
Amen.
We're talking about what the world considers this is a man. I mean, you don't want to mess with this man. I mean, he's the man. That's what they say, right? He's the man. Janice tells me, because she lived out there, she says, when people saw Popeye the Sandwich, they took the women and children off the streets. Get over on the other side of the street. Right? You get the picture? He's a big man. Now these old guys out there, this barber says, we're not going to listen to you, preacher, until you went pop out of something. Well, you see, the Lemon Kincaid been with Jesus. Amen. He says, tell me where he lives. Well, he lives out here. He says, I'm going. So he gets up out of the barber chair, and they said, no, preacher, we're just kidding. Yeah, we're just pulling your leg. You don't want to go visit Popeye Simon. I mean, he's the man. He'll kill you. But, you see, he'd been with Jesus. Wasn't too learned, but he'd been with Jesus. Know what it says? Let's go back there and read that again. That's what it says. Wasn't learned, right? He said, I'm gone. They try to talk about it. No, you said, if I go out and win Popeye to Simon, then you'd listen to the gospel and you'd come out to church. I'm going. So he gets in the car and he drives out there. Don't you know that he was a little bit scared? No, not yet. Right now he just thinks he's pulling her leg. He just thinks they're joking. He thinks, oh, I've been through this before. I can handle it. But then he pulls up in this driveway. Now I'll tell you down here, they got long driveways, right? Driving up the driveway, and I'm told he's out there with a rifle shooting rabbits. And if this ain't exactly right, it's because I'm telling the story. All right? This is an edited version. They do that nowadays, see? So he's shooting the rifle. And so now, don't you know, the butterflies are going, well, maybe all these stories are right. And he's getting closer. Now the vision's getting, but this is the man. I mean, he's a big man. Huh? And then, of course, this Popeye Simon, people are trying to kill him. He don't know who this guy is driving up his driveway. Huh? Don't you notice that rifle just came over there and said, hey, who are you? But he gets out of his car. He says, well, I'm a preacher of the gospel. I'd like to tell you about the Lord. The man puts down his gun. He says, all right, come on up here and tell me. And he led him to the Lord. Now, what are we talking about here? We're talking about a little bit of boldness. We're talking about overcoming some fears. Don't you know Peter and John were a little bit scared? But they weren't dominated by fear. They were dominated by the captain of their salvation. And when we gave the order, they were ready to go. And when they got a little bit scared, they prayed, now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant us a little bit of boldness. I think God's looking for a bold man. Or a brave man. When I say that, I don't mean that they're never afraid. Or they don't get butterflies. Or their knees don't shake together. I get nervous when I know it's my turn to preach. And I've been preaching for a long time. I still get nervous. I think God's looking for a bold man. I'd like to say that God is looking for a faithful man. Not any man will do, but I think he's looking for a faithful man. Look over in 2 Timothy in chapter 4. Quickly now. Second Timothy and chapter 4. Now here's the Apostle Paul. Look down about verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered. Are you ready? Are you ready? And he cried out. Just read Psalm chapter 51. How David repented. He loved God. And when he offended his God, he felt ashamed. And he went back to God and said, oh God, have mercy.